Welcome to The Baseball Show, Chicago's only interactive nightly show focused on the Cubs, the White Sox, and Major League Baseball. On radio, on app, on podcast. Listen to the show your way on ESPN 1000 or the new ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Goose Island Beer Company and sponsored by the Points Bet Sportsbook. The Baseball Show on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, Abdallah, the White Sox first team in the American League to qualify for the playoffs. Yesterday, the come-from-behind victory 4-3 on the Twins. They take 3-4 against the Twins, and that's something that we were talking about all season long, is how will this team adjust throughout the season when then they face the teams who are supposed to be really good, right? Because we've seen them beat up on the teams they're supposed to. This young, powerful team, this powerful lineup, and also getting good starting pitching, how will they fare against the teams that will also be in the playoffs? And we see 3-4 against the Twins, including the comeback, that two-run rally yesterday to then get into the playoffs. Fantastic from the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just look at the last few games. They've lost two games since September 3rd, you know, going all the way back then. So if you look at this team right now, they're just rolling on all cylinders. It's great for Sox fans. You take 3 out of 4 from Minnesota. Now you get to go play Cincinnati. Tim Anderson gets the day off. You know, you'd figure that they'd have the day after lineup, but, you know, only Tim Anderson gets the day off. And then other than that, now you look at, you know, setting up your rotation. Keuchel's going to go tomorrow on Saturday, and then, you know, Cease is going to go Sunday. Giolito's going to go on Monday. And this is kind of setting, the Sox are kind of setting themselves up for their playoff rotation for these last couple series. You've got 3 series left. You've got 3 against the Reds, 4 against the Indians, and then 3 against the Cubs that, at this point, you know, we're going to be talking about rest versus rust, right? Like, we're going to be talking about, you know, should the White Sox give some guys a few days off to get them fresh for the playoffs? They've only played 60 games, so does that stuff matter? These are good conversations to be having if you're a White Sox fan right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the one thing that to kind of point to is you kind of joke about having a post-celebration lineup tonight. The problem is the division isn't sealed up yet.
Nope.
You know, and the number one seed in the AL, not over yet, right? So this is all stuff that the White Sox are going to be looking at, trying to get towards as we kind of start things here on the Baseball Show. We do have a Cubs game as well tonight, so we will talk a lot of Cubs and Twins. Kyle Hendricks on the mound, but also the Chicago White Sox, they will be taking on the Cincinnati Reds in about 5 minutes. So White Sox baseball right now, we'll talk to you at 312-332-3776. And this is where we start tonight with our first pitch.
The first pitch.
Play ball.
Throwing out the first pitch, and I have to say this was rather impressive.
On the Baseball Show.
Right. There's your first pitch and then some.
On ESPN 1000.
So if we go back to last night, or yesterday, really, in the afternoon. It was a day game. The Chicago White Sox, the seventh inning rally for the Sox as they come back to beat the Twins. Let's take a look back at what took place yesterday as the Sox get into the playoffs.
Two and two. Abreu on the ground, left-hand side. Polanco.
Jose beat it out! This ball game is tied. Abreu, another two-strike RBI.
If there's anybody in that room that I'm really, really happy for, in particular, people, because he does represent the White Sox in the best way that you can possibly represent the White Sox.
And now Eloy Jimenez rips one down the left field line. The Sox are going to take the lead. Yolmer Sanchez scores. Eloy's got a surprise for Sergio Romo, and it's 4-3.
Seventh inning runs. This ball club is deadly from the seventh inning on.
For me, that was really a special moment, and I just let it go. It's really, really fun, you know.
First pitch swing in the air. Luis Robert makes the catch. And in a year when so many of us have had to be apart, we all will journey together into October with the White Sox. For the first time in 12 years, the Sox are going to the playoffs.
It's an emotional day, I think, all the way around for everybody because it's been a lot of hard work. But we are taking a tremendous amount of joy in where we're at, but we're not done.
Yeah, now there's a division to win. The Sox have the tiebreaker over Minnesota and a three-game lead with 10 games to play.
We wanted another bigger goal. These are just steps along the way. And now it's on to the next. What else can we do?
The White Sox are going to the playoffs. You will watch October baseball this year.
Shout out to Eric Ostrowski for putting that together as the White Sox win yesterday. They are a playoff team, as you hear Jason Benet say it right there. And Adam, the one thing that I kind of look at is this is our first pitch tonight. And the key here is, did you see the column on MLB.com from Scott Merkin today? The White Sox want the bigger goal after clinch. And the whole conversation about this team and where they're supposed to be as far as their timeline, because it's young talent coming together, playing well in this season, a little bit unexpectedly to this point, but we all know that they are a talented group, and this is the group of young players that someday will grow together to be a powerful team in the American League. And I kind of look at this, and I've looked at this season this way the entire time, is why not take advantage of the situation that's presented itself with this shortened schedule, with the great play they brought to the table, with the starting pitching that's giving you the third best ERA and the ninth best whip in all baseball. You have a bullpen that's giving you top 10 bullpen statistics as well. And the lineup, these young players are hitting, they're mashing for you. So to me, you can talk about the timelines. I appreciate that the article today from Scott Merkin on MLB.com isn't how is this team going to manage. Instead, it's they're hungry and they want more. And getting into the playoffs is the first step. But guess what? There are more steps behind that one, and they are looking to do more than just get into the playoffs. To me, this is one of those things where if you're a White Sox fan, this is a great sign. You get into the playoffs. Right now, you're the best team in the American League. But let's get more.
Absolutely.
And I think that if you look at the way the season was constructed, Chris, it's like everybody's saying, oh, it's 60 games, people are hot, people are in slumps, all that kind of stuff, whatever. This is basically like you started the season, everybody at the same with the same record at the end of July.
Yeah.
You were playing the same amount of playoffs. There's more teams, so you have to get through another round. There's not going to be travel days. If anything, this year is tougher because of all of the and I'll say this no matter who wins the World Series. I don't care who wins, no matter which team wins the World Series. It's tougher this year. The protocols that baseball players have to deal with, yes, they're getting paid lots of money. But everything that this team has to deal with, and every team around Major League Baseball, worrying about games not being played. There's players that are testing positive. There's games that have been canceled. Playing doubleheaders, playing seven-inning doubleheaders, focusing on winning a game in seven innings as opposed to having those extra two innings. Dealing with everything surrounding coronavirus, not seeing your certain family members or certain friends that you would like to see, like all of us are dealing with right now. It's just a lot for people to deal with mentally, and I feel like this is, if there's going to be an asterisk or anything like that, it should be because of everything that has gone into trying to put this playoff run together for teams. You're not going to have fans for home field advantage. You're going to be in a bubble. We've seen teams in the NBA that are thriving in the bubble that may not have under normal circumstances. That might be the case for Major League Baseball. But to see this young team, and I'll go to a quote that wasn't said to reporters. It was Jose Abreu said it after the game when he was talking to teammates and said, I finally made it. Jose Abreu's been on this team. This is his seventh year on the team, and he's finally made the playoffs. And for him to be an MVP candidate on a team that has two MVP candidates and being a leader for this team when as down as they were in previous years when he got to the team, and now to have it come to fruition that I'm rooting for nothing but the best for this team moving forward. I hope they win it all. I think they have everything to win it all. And I don't think that you should be saying, oh, well, maybe next year, you know, like this is still like, let's all one win at a time. No, the goal this year is the World Series. This team is good enough to win the World Series. No more can they keep this up. We'll see. This team is good enough to win the World Series right now.
312-332-3776. We'll talk baseball with you like John in Evanston. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. You know, I'm going to keep it short. I love the way Ricky has kept this team grounded this year. He's worked on them just having fun, going out, playing ball, playing hard, getting used to playing together. He's been keeping, you know, things intact. The young pitchers, and Grandel really loves the pitchers on this club, and he has come out and said the youthfulness on this team has made it fun for him again, which is big time. And, Anderson bouncing back this year with the year he's having, and Abreu taking charge of that clubhouse this year. And, you know, you can see he's having fun too. I don't think this team is worried about how far can we go. It's, you know, game by game, boys. Let's just go out, play, do what we've been doing all year. Play hard, have fun, and see where it goes.
Absolutely, John. I appreciate the phone call. 312-332-3776. So, Abdallah, that's what our first pitch is about tonight, is that this team, and it goes with what John just said, you know, take advantage of what's in front of you. And we've seen this now over the course of the last few champions. We've seen this. The Astros in 2017, the Cubs in 2016, the Dodgers over the course of the last five-plus years, the Yankees last year. I know the Yankees and the Dodgers do spend, but the Cubs and the Astros, more specifically, are two teams that had young talent come together, thrive together, before their timelines hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Cubs were winning a championship before we assume that they would win a championship in 2016. Now, you can kind of look back and say maybe they all, like, that was the outlier season because, like, that's the best that all of those players played together. But for this Sox team, what I've kind of seen over the last few years in baseball is when you have young talent coming up together, there is no end date. There is no ceiling on the potential, what you can accomplish when young players go out and they give it their all each and every night. And I love to see the veterans mixing in there, Grandal, and then you see Keuchel, and then Jose Abreu. And the fact that he is now having a career year in this great season for the Chicago White Sox is such a stellar story in Major League Baseball this season.
I think that you're over the next couple weeks here leading into the playoffs, or I guess a week, really, you'll hear a lot of stuff about, well, the young guys just won't know any better. Like, is the pressure going to get to them, or are they just going to go out and play and not know any better? I think this is a team that is confident. I think this is a team that is, I don't want to say cocky, but like just confident. There's a swag. There's a knowing you can go in.
Confidence.
And confidence. And yeah, and like when we listened to that montage just there, and Steve Stone said it, this team from the seventh inning on has been great.
That one goes out of the park. Take my word for it. Anyway.
They never think that
Stone's
still
talking about the ball club. Yeah. He doesn't get
that one goes out of the park.
Doesn't care that there's a highlight.
They never think that they're out of it. They never think that they can be defeated. They always think that they can come back late in games. There's no quit in this team because they're so young and hungry. And I think that that feeds into everything that's going to lead to winning a World Series this year because of everything that they have had to deal with this coronavirus shortened season.
And I wonder this, you know, recent history's kind of shown us that baseball is a young man's game, you know, and when you can stack the young talent together all hitting at the same time, those are the teams that usually pop. I mean, think back to the Nationals last year.
Yeah.
Had a lot of young talent, right? And they're not having a good season this year, but still. So, Black and Abdallah talking with you here on ESPN 1000, the baseball show. Coming up next, Kyle Hendricks is on the mound. He seemed to find his way in his last couple of starts after losing three in a row. We'll talk about Hendricks and the Cubs. And what do I see? Is that Tim from the south side on hold again? Wow. Two shows back to back.
Are we going to do? Hold on. Do I got to get my math? Do I get my calculator off? My TI-83.
We'll talk to Tim next.
From Wrigley on the north to guaranteed rate on the south.
This is the baseball show on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Wait.
All right, we've had some good vibes on the White Sox tonight. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776.
It's Friday, man. Good vibes only.
But we'll also talk some Cubs baseball as well. But before we continue on, Tim on the South Side is on ESPN 1000. You ready for this, Abdallah?
I'm born ready. I got my calculator out. Let's do this.
All right.
29 is greater than 32.
When you're 32, 29. Get your calculator out. You know, nothing has changed since we last talked. The White Sox are the same team. They're 21-3 against Detroit, Kansas City, and Pittsburgh, and now 12-14 against the rest of the league. So get your calculator out for that one. And if you guys could, I think you better check the Chicago White Sox fans for diabetes, the way you lead in to every baseball show. Holy crap. Sugar coat, everything. What about the bullpen dropping like flies? Aaron Bummer, now Marshall. Holy, this team, you got a right fielder that can't hit. You got Edwin Encarnacion that's bad and can't bat his weight. Jose Abreu is great. Check him for steroids. Holy crap.
Who does
this guy think he is at the age of 43?
He's smashing balls out of the yard.
Yeah, but wouldn't you do a steroid check?
He's 33.
He's from Cuba, right?
He's 33. What's wrong with that?
I think he's 33.
Yeah, he is 33. I agree.
Is he 53?
Get your calculator out.
Tim, is that all you got? Let's talk some Cubs baseball. What's going on with the Chicago Cubs?
Are
you ready for the Cubs?
I mean, you're giving the whole city of Chicago White Sox diabetes.
My mom has type 2 diabetes.
He went down today. Anything? Is that a problem?
Yeah, I think it is. I think you need him. I would prefer him to be in my bullpen so that I can use him in the 7th and 8th innings. That'd be nice. I agree.
And you're 12-14 against the rest of the league. You still enjoy that?
Can I ask a question? Because on Wednesday night, you called, and then you called back to tell, I think it was Eric, producing the show, that the Cubs...
I said they played 10 games with Detroit and Kansas City.
Right.
The Cubs didn't do that.
Yeah, but the Cubs have played Detroit.
And
Pardon?
Kansas City.
And Kansas City.
Yeah.
The Cubs are what?
The Cubs have played Detroit
and Kansas City.
You know that they're only playing the AL Central and the NL Central.
You understand that when you play 10 with Detroit and 10 with Kansas City, that's different than 3-3 against Kansas City and Detroit.
You know, Detroit actually beat the Cubs 2 out of 3.
St. Louis beat the White Sox 2 out of 3.
Those games didn't count.
No, those games didn't count. Were those preseason games? Were those spring training games?
So what are the Cubs and Twins this weekend? 3-game set. What do you think?
What I'm trying to tell you guys is you're 12-14 against the rest of the league.
Yep.
There's no denying that, correct?
Bird. No, I'm with
Tim,
you.
You know what else there's not denying? Are the White Sox going to the playoffs?
Yes, and so are the Cubs, and so are the Yankees, and so are Cleveland. Anybody could win this. Listen, the Sox are give the Sox another 100 games, and Ricky Renteria would destroy that bullpen. 50 games he got Aaron Bummer and Marshall already on the DL. He doesn't know how to manage 5 innings. Every starting pitcher gets yanked after 5 innings. It's embarrassing that you guys brag about this team.
I don't think we're bragging about it, but let's talk about the Cubs. What do they do this weekend against the Twins? 3-game set. What do you think?
You know, I would love to take 2 out of 3. I would love to beat the Twins 2 out of 3 and then sweep the Pittsburgh Pirates and then just get ready for the playoffs, which is probably what's going to happen. But anything could happen in the playoffs. It's like I'm telling you guys. Mm-hmm. You guys are all excited because you know why? The timeline is 12 years. You haven't been in this is the Cubs' 5th playoff appearance in 6 years. We're like the Yankees. You guys are like, I don't know, Miami Marlins.
The Yankees.
How's Chris Bryant doing? He all right?
How's Edwin Encarnacion?
Encarnacion is not doing well at all. I agree.
Okay, so
How many RBI does Chris Bryant have?
Five RBI on the table? Do
Chris
we talk
Bryant
about that?
Will come alive, and 205. You know he will.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, I am sure. I am as sure as Jose Abreu is on steroids.
Okay. All right.
Your
fastball not there. Quite there tonight. Not going to lie.
You guys, y'all heard the click.
I did not do that. His line's available.
The click. And last I checked, Edwin Encarnacion, looking at the latest stats, unless he's got one now, no, it's still scoreless as the Sox are in Cincinnati. Edwin Encarnacion has 17 RBI.
Compared to Bryant's 5.
Yeah.
Okay, can I just say this? I enjoy when Tim calls the show.
I do too.
Shout out to Tim. Tim's
listen,
great.
All calls welcome regardless
I like Tim.
Math.
Good job, Tim.
Or
I'm not being sarcastic either. I enjoy talking to Tim. I think he's fun. It's a good,
conversation. As my mom has type 2 diabetes. I don't know about that.
Well, I don't know why he's going after Shauna, but I mean, listen.
And I also don't know why we got to test Abreu for steroids. Don't they do that on their own?
I mean, I think it's fun.
It's not like they're like, hey, guys, we're going to be doing enough coronavirus testing, so we're just not going to test
for steroids
this year. Yeah.
Tom in Oak Lawn, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tom?
All right, guys, I think Tim on the south side is just a little upset because the Cubs traded Lou Brock for Ernie Broglio so many times. It was like worst trade ever. So, and I don't know. I don't think that trade worked out for the Cubs. I'm not sure. And as far as I'm not even going to acknowledge the whole test Jose Abreu for steroids.
Yeah,
I think
it's stupid.
I think Cubs fans are the least pert people to be saying that anybody should be tested for steroids, you know, considering everything that happened in 1998 and such, where nobody was being tested and everything that way. So it's just ridiculous and such. So, although
thanks,
I do enjoy his rants. His rants are hilarious.
It's funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny, right?
Sense. They don't make any sense. They're a lot of fun. They're hilarious. Gives me a big chuckle and such every time I hear him talk. So, but, you know, that's about it.
Thank you.
He's got no substance.
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate
I will
Tom.
Say this.
I'm sorry, Tom. Thank you, Tom.
I will say this. Jealousy.
Got a pretty cute team there.
Jealousy is a stinky cologne.
Let's go to Will in Virginia, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, Will?
Hey, what's up, guys? I do have a quick bias point, but real fast, I have to give you a message. Gustavo says hi. He wanted to remind Adam about his anniversary coming up, and he wants to have drinks with you in 2023. Now, real fast, bias. I think he's starting to come back. I feel like he's starting to get that swag, as Adam would say. He's gotten some big hits. He's got the home run lately. But, Adam, I have to ask you, you have the expertise in this matter. Mm. Is the swag, is Javi back? Is he coming back?
He still looks lost at the plate. He still looks lost at the plate.
You got mad at me last week when I tried to ask you about it, so I'm going to let Will take this.
No.
Will,
I'm not mad.
Address this bias situation with...
This is easily his worst season ever. Easily. You know? And I think that he maybe found something with stealing home and you know, scoring on an error and that kind of stuff, but ultimately he still just looks lost at the plate, and that's a big bat that you need in the lineup. You need him and Chris Bryant in order to advance in the playoffs. You are not going to advance if the two guys that you rely on in that lineup aren't hitting. Simple as that. So I would say right now, kind of swagless.
What do you think, Will?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that he's starting to figure it out. It's only been a few games, so yeah, definitely need Bryant, Contreras, Baez, everybody to get this thing going. But I'm hoping that Javi is starting to figure something out, because he had a couple good games against Cleveland, I guess. So we'll see what happens, right?
Will, you said you talked to Gustavo. When did you talk to Gustavo Vega? For those who don't know, Gustavo Vega has been following Bleck and Abdallah when we were just a podcast that we would record in Studio C in the back closet, and no one would listen to, 10, 11, 12 years ago? Mm-hmm. We would record this podcast, put it out. No mm-hmm. one would listen. The only person that was listening at the time was Gustavo Vega. When did you talk to Gustavo?
Yeah, it was today. It was we talked over the last week, and then today we finished up our pod. So, yeah, good stuff. He had a lot of good content. Good, lots of good stories about you guys from back in the day, like you just mentioned.
Awesome. We'll have to check that out. All right, Will, have a great weekend, all right, man?
All right, you too.
That's awesome. Gustavo Vega, like, legitimately the only person that listened to our show, like, 11
years ago.
Well,
yeah, and what Will's doing is he's doing, like, a podcast series with a bunch of the ESPN 1000 regulars. You know, like, the guys that call in, the P1s of ESPN 1000.
So that's awesome.
Which is great, because you get to know the people. Like, it's people that we talk to, like Will, like Gustavo, like Salim, these guys that call in all the time that we are getting to know more about, because all we know is their sports takes, really, you know?
Let me go back to Tim. Tim from the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000.
Ew.
Oh, he's not there. Can I go? Maybe he's online, too. Nope. Line three? Okay. The reason I bring this up, Abdallah, because I forgot about this, but I saw it earlier today. Jesse Rogers tweeted this. ESPN's Jesse Rogers. Random stat of the day. The Cubs have played.
Wait, can we change the name of the segment to Random Stat of the Night?
No, no, this is just for Jesse. The Cubs have played just 7 of 50 games against plus 500 teams. By far the least in baseball. 4 against the Indians, 3 against the Sox. They'll nearly double that total, as 6 of their final 10 are against plus 500 teams. Where's Tim on that one? Hello, Tim on the South Side. You're going after the Sox and how they've beaten no one. The Cubs have played the fewest plus 500 teams in all baseball.
Got a pretty cute team there.
I mean, what's going on there? That's all I want to ask.
A pretty cute team there. I still love it.
You can hit all the home runs you want. Defense never slumps. Pitching never slumps.
Can I ask you about Kyle Hendricks when we come back?
Yeah.
This is the Baseball Show with Black and Abdallah.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
I want to ask you about Kyle Hendricks. He's starting tonight for the Chicago Cubs against the Minnesota Twins tonight at Wrigley Field. But first, this Anthony Rizzo update is hydrated by Body Armor. Yesterday, Rizzo went 1-for-3. Actually, it was on Wednesday. He went 1-for-3 with one hit, 2 walks as the Cubs win in 10, 3-2 on Wednesday. Tonight, Rizzo is in the leadoff spot playing first for the Chicago Cubs. With potassium-packed electrolytes, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, ditch your old sports drink and switch Body Armor.
Got it right here.
I know. Is that yours?
I got this. Is the or
is
orange
that studio Body Armor?
No, there was a couple in the fridge. There were a couple in the fridge. It's nice. Not mine. I didn't bring it from home, but there are a couple in the fridge here. This is the orange clementine Body Armor light.
That's my favorite.
Only 2 grams of sugar. No added sugars, like you mentioned. Zero. Yeah. I'm looking at the nutrition facts right here. These are facts, people. Facts. It's got 70% of your vitamin C for the day.
It's delicious.
200% of your vitamin B. That's like 2 days worth of vitamin B and B12. 2 days worth. Right here. In this. In one bottle.
Yes. We get it. Yeah. Body Armor.
Drink delicious. It. Yeah. I'm not going to drink it right now because we're golfing tomorrow and I'm going to bring it to the golf course. Yeah. All right. I'm taking that one. Who's ever this left it in the fridge? It's mine now.
All right. Well, there you go.
Don't leave stuff in the fridge.
This Rizzo update is powered by Body Armor. Let me ask you this about Kyle Hendricks. We saw in the month of August, he lost 3 straight games against the Cardinals, the White Sox, and the Reds. It was almost a 3 straight starts. He didn't pitch well. He was giving up a lot of hits, a lot of earned runs, and things were going in the wrong direction. Here in the month of September, Kyle Hendricks has gotten back on the right track. He has 3 straight wins, last time out, 7 2/3 innings pitched. Giving up 6 hits, 2 runs, only 1 home run, 2 home runs he's given up in this month. But he had 7 strikeouts, and he threw 106 pitches. So he's going deep into games. He went 8 against the Cardinals on September the 7th. And so when we look at Kyle Hendricks, who is on the mound tonight against the Twins, has he turned it around? Are you confident in Kyle Hendricks as your number 2 for the Chicago Cubs now heading towards the playoffs? And was that little trip up in the middle of this short season in August, the 3-game losing streak, just kind of a bad run for him? And now he's on the right path.
I think so. I think, you know, if you talk to Kyle Hendricks, he's one of the smartest guys in the room. And I don't mean that in like a bad way. I don't mean like he's not like mean about it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
He's a student of the game. He studies his craft.
So, and I think it's very easy for pitchers to find, especially him, because he's done it before, find out what little hitch he's got going on in his mechanics. And like Jesse was on yesterday talking about how John Lester needed to figure out that he was going in his delivery, he was going from 10 to 4 instead of going from like 11 to 5. you know, so he needed to figure that out. Like, so Hendricks, you know, he can watch himself pitch in these video sessions, figure out what that little mechanic thing is and fix it. And hopefully that's what the issue was for those couple games where he, you know, where he didn't have good outings. And now you need him going into the playoffs, because in these three game sets in the wild card series, you hope that Yu Darvish can go as your one, and then Hendricks can go as your two. And then if you need to get to a three, hopefully John Lester has figured something out and can give you a, you know, a start if you need it, if it goes to three games. So I think that he has figured it out, because I think he's capable of doing it. You know, he's not just, I'm going to throw this as hard as I can. He's not just, you know, trying to throw 100 miles an hour and hope that his fastball beats everybody. He's more of that. The comparison is always Greg Maddux, you know, like he's nibbling at the strike zone. Yeah. He's using a lot of his defense in his outings. So I feel like he's the guy on the staff that can pinpoint what is wrong and fix it the quickest.
Kyle Hendricks, tonight's starter for the Cubs, is 2-0 with a 1.66 ERA and three starts in this month, striking out 17 batters and walking two. He has walked just six batters in 65 and two-thirds innings pitched this season. Good for a National League best and a 0.82 walks per nine innings. So you're right, Abdallah, because the fact that he doesn't walk anyone, so he keeps traffic off the base pads. I know he gave up, seven or eight hits in his last outing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the ability to get guys to swing and miss and to ground out and to kind of just move the game along without giving free passes to the opposition, I think is key here. And I think you're right. I think he has figured it out. And I think it gives the Cubs a lethal 1-2 punch heading into the playoffs. Now, what do you do for the third person in that rotation when you're getting into a playoff series? It's tough, because John Lester at points this year has been really bad. He's also been decent. So, like, and we've seen Alec Mills give you a no-hitter. Mm-hmm. But also, we've seen him struggle. So there's a lot to kind of look at with the Chicago Cubs and their pitching rotation as we head towards the playoffs. Top two, Sox and Reds. The Reds lead 1-0. Cassianos, a home run to left in the bottom of the first. So the Reds lead 1-0 over the Sox. Steve in Elmhurst, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. You know, one of the things that when you're talking about Hendricks that you always have to keep in mind is on the road versus at home. He's had an incredible run at Wrigley Field over the last few years. And at least two of those starts that you're talking about that he's done really well were at Wrigley Field. Now, if we see him have a couple of really good starts down the stretch here, away from Wrigley Field, I'd feel really good about that, because, you know, he's struggled in places like Cincinnati, where you think, oh, man, he ought to go out there and probably have a pretty good outing. And no. He struggled. And so, you know, that's one of the factors. But when you talk about the third pitcher in a rotation in the playoffs, man, I'll tell you what, Mills, forget about the no-hitter. I mean, obviously that was outstanding, but the start before that was also outstanding. And he's made an adjustment. The league adjusted to him after the first couple of games where the first few games of the season, he was outstanding. Then the league adjusted to him. They started looking for the changeup, and they were hitting him pretty good. And now he's adjusted back, and he's thrown more fastballs, more breaking balls, and he's having a lot more success, obviously, last couple starts. So I really like him. And John Lester, I mean, it was nice to see him have a good outing. You know, the one before last was especially good, but I don't think he's a guy I trust a whole lot. So I would have Mills in that number three.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you for the phone call. Call again, all right?
Steve. There's also an interesting, you know, strategy that Jesse floated as well, where if you don't want Lester to be your third pitcher, what if he pitched your second game and then Hendricks pitched your third game if you needed him to? Like, Yu Darvish goes out there, gets you a win. I know.
I don't like messing around on that.
I don't like messing around either.
You know why? Because next thing you know, you lose the first two, and then what's the point?
But do you trust John Lester in a must-win situation?
I mean, I would rather start the better pitcher sooner.
No, I agree with
you. Like, I'm not playing that game where, yeah, well, we'll take care of business here and there, and, you know, if we need them. No.
I agree with you. Start
your best pitchers.
I agree with you. But then you could also start Hendricks in game one of that next series.
Well, get to the next series first.
That's true.
To go with the home and away splits for Kyle Hendricks in his career, at home, he is 35-20 in 85 games start. Away, he's 33-27 in 87 games. His ERA at home, 2.58. His ERA on the road, 3.75. He's given up 57 home runs on the road and 45 at Wrigley Field.
Hmm.
So, I mean, he is a much better pitcher at the friendly confines.
Well, ideally for the Cubs, should they win the division, that first round will be at home. So you should probably, that goes to the theory of should you wait and pitch him in game. I mean, it doesn't really matter because all three are at home. So if you need him, he will be at home for the first, for the wild card series at least. And then all the games are on the road for every team essentially in this, in the bubble, in the postseason.
Does Darvish have a chance to win the Cy Young? We'll talk about it next.
The Baseball Show with Black and Abdallah. Weeknights at 6 on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
You got that body armor over there still?
Yeah. Right here. It's going in the bag because I'm taking it golfing.
This Anthony Rizzo update is hydrated by Body Armor. On Wednesday, Rizzo went 1-for-3 with a hit, 2 walks as the Cubs win 3-2 in 10 innings as Rizzo tonight will be leading off and playing first for the Chicago Cubs with potassium-packed electrolytes, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. Ditch your old sports drink and switch Body Armor. We're going golfing tomorrow. Are you going to bring one for me, too?
There's another one in the fridge if you want it.
Here?
Grab it, yeah.
Okay, what flavor?
There's a coconut one in there.
Oh, that's a good one,
there's
too.
There's some more of this one, the tangerine or orange clementine.
That's good as well. I love it.
No sugar added.
All right.
Vitamins B3, B5, B6, B9, B12, all the Bs. All the Bs are in here. Vitamin
tomorrow.
A, C, and E, 700 milligrams of potassium.
Yes, we got it. Body Armor, drink
coconut
it.
Water.
Chicago's College Tailgate tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
10:30 to 12:30.
Indeed.
So we're going to do the show, and then we're going to go play.
And then we're going to go play, yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
I'm bringing my clubs to the station. So.
Are you? All right.
Yeah. I mean, you're driving me.
Talk about show prep. fantastic. So grab an extra body armor for me tomorrow.
What do you mean?
Right? For a buddy. Grab a body armor for a buddy. Can you do that tomorrow?
What? Put it in your own bag.
All right.
I'll trade you. I'll take the screwball. You give me the body armor.
Both are good.
All right, good.
I'll mix them. Let's go first to third.
First to third.
He is safe. Bryce Harper goes from first to third on a ground out.
Black and Abdallah.
Burning around second base.
Go first to third.
All the way from one corner to another.
Not stopping at second. He's going to try for third. And the throw is not in time. Able to go all the way from first to third on a wild pitch.
First to third.
On the Baseball Show on ESPN 1000.
Three stories from around Major League Baseball today, and Abdallah, the first one up on first to third is this. I always love this. MLB.com, they give out a poll to all the reporters. Mm-hmm. They say, vote like you're voting on the Cy Young.
Okay.
And then they tally all the counts. They tally all the votes back, and they figure out who right now would win the Cy Young if the season ended today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In the American League, it would be Shane Bieber for the Indians. He received 38 first-place votes. Second place was Lance Lynn from the Rangers. And third place, Lucas Giolito of the Chicago White Sox. When we look at the American League, how do you think the voters on MLB.com voted for Cy Young in the National League?
I think Shane Bieber's running away with it.
For the American League?
Yeah.
What about the National League?
Who do you think
that they would vote for?
Let's see. You've got Darvish. You've got DeGrom.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Max from the Braves.
Freed?
I'm trying to think of other guys. I think probably those three, right?
Okay, so 17.
Oh, Trevor Bauer.
Trevor Bauer's in the conversation as well. With 17 first place votes, Yu Darvish would be the writer's pick for Cy Young if the season ended today. Jacob DeGrom, number 2. Trevor Bauer, number 3.
How close was it, though? How was the voting?
DeGrom got 15 votes and Darvish got 17.
Ooh,
so
close.
It was pretty close.
Close, yeah. Close, close.
Where in the American League, Bieber got all 38 votes.
Wow, okay. So, okay.
All right, so that's the first story on first.
That's what
third.
I thought you were asking originally, is who, right. Like who ran away with it, or who good. Won? Who won?
The second story on first to third tonight, barrel rates. When you look at barrel rates in baseball, it tells the story of who the best teams in baseball are. In fact, if you look at all the teams who are going to make the playoffs, there's only three teams right now that are not in the top of barrel rate in all of baseball. It's the Marlins, the Astros, and the Indians. And we know the Indians don't have a good offense. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It makes sense with the Marlins. Mm-hmm. You would think that mm-hmm. the Astros would have more power in their lineup. But basically, every good team, the best in baseball, the Dodgers, the Padres are two, the Braves are three, the White Sox are four, the Phillies, the Blue Jays, the Reds, the Giants, the Rays, A's, Yankees, Cubs, Twins. Those are all teams fighting for playoff position and will make the playoffs.
All right. Explain to the people what the barrel rate is.
It's getting the perfect exit velocity and launch angle on the bat, on the ball. Mm-hmm. It's a StatCast metric that you'll see people talk about all the time. People love hitting the barrel. Right. And it's, you know, the shorthand, it's squaring up the baseball, getting the most power to the ball. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was an interesting article. You can find that on MLB.com as well. And also in first to third, I thought this was something that we should kind of point out because we talked a lot about the White Sox clinching yesterday. The Tampa Bay Rays had two games yesterday. They also clinched a playoff spot. The Tampa Bay Rays right now, as they look for their magic number to clinch the AL East is 7, but they are in the playoffs as well with the Chicago White Sox, and I think the Sox and the Rays are two teams on a collision course for the American League CS.
That would be a fun series. That would be a very fun series, because I think right now that the White Sox would still get the Indians, right, as of right now. So that would be the first-round matchup. But yeah, the Rays and the White Sox, kind of a nightmare for baseball. I mean, it's still a Chicago market, but you kind of want, if you're Major League Baseball, you still want the heavy hitters in there. You still want the Yankees or the Astros in there, I would imagine.
You're talking from like a TV ratings
perspective. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Listen, for the American League, for the TV partners, I think the top four teams are not enticing at all.
No.
The White Sox, the Rays, the Athletics, the Twins.
Yeah.
That doesn't move the meter as far as large national viewing numbers.
Yes.
White Sox fans, don't get upset when we say that.
No.
That's what it is.
It's Chicago, but it's still the White Sox. In the American League,
they would prefer New York, Houston, Boston. Those are the teams that they want. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this White Sox team, though, has a lot of people interested in them, so maybe they are starting to kind of turn the tide there.
Because think about it. Houston wasn't that team until they became that team, right?
Oh, like, but Houston's still like the fifth or sixth largest market in America.
Chicago's the third largest market.
It's a split market.
I understand
that. Where most people are Cub fans.
But don't you think baseball fans would rally around a fun young White Sox team?
Yeah. That's the argument for them. Everything else kind of doesn't go that way. And if the playoffs started today, the White Sox would be taking on the Toronto Blue Jays.
Okay.
Which then leads us to our stat of the night.
Giambi's on base percentage was .476.
Stat of the night.
Damon's on base, .324. And Almeida's was .291.
On the baseball show.
Add that up and you get.
You want me to speak?
What number point do you get?
.1092.
On ESPN 1000.
So we mentioned the Toronto Blue Jays, and the stat of the night tonight it is 19. As in the Yankees hit 19 home runs in 3 games against the Toronto Blue Jays. The Yankees are now on an 8-game winning streak. And in that streak, they've hit 27 home runs to 20 compared to their opponents. At the start of the win streak, the New York Yankees were the 8th seed in the American League playoffs, sitting at 22-21. Now they are 29-21, 5th in the AL. And now Toronto, at 26-23, is the 8th seed in the American League playoffs.
Wow.
19 home runs in 3 games from the New York Yankees.
I know they batted around yesterday at some point in the game, and a few of them hit home runs. A few Yankees players hit home runs while they batted around. So it was a huge inning for them. But this short season has been just crazy.
Well, I mean, we've had multiple stories here on the baseball show where we look at the Yankees and it's like, could they miss the playoffs?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, 8 wins in a row has corrected that. Now they're sitting in the middle of the seeding for the American League. They would take on the Twins in a first-round series.
That would be good as well. I know that Giancarlo Stanton talked about it yesterday and said that when their offense is clicking like that, they're going to be a tough out. That's a scary lineup to try to face. And so, like, you look at them, you look at the White Sox, it's the same. It's like, it's a scary lineup. People are like, oh, well, should the White Sox be afraid of top-tier pitching? It's like, well, no, top-tier pitching should be afraid of the White Sox and the Yankees.
Download the podcast of The Baseball Show on the ESPN Chicago app. Thanks to Sean Davis for producing the show tonight. And we will talk to you on Monday with Waddle and Sylvia, too. The Odds Couple is coming up next.
This is The Baseball Show.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.